Welcome to the River Mountain Church Preaching Library. It is our prayer and indeed our hope that this message might inspire your life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the preaching of God's Word.
I'm calling this 2 degrees of glory. God's plan for us, listen, is glory. You're one day going to live in glory. But here on earth, you're called to experience God's glory. And you're called to go from one degree of glory to the next. So I'm going to talk about degrees of glory. And first of all, in this story, what we see is God revealing to the people of Israel that there are powers that be upon the earth. And these powers that be cannot be defeated by us. God has to send the powers of heaven. It's a beautiful verse. What was seen by Zechariah? What he saw with his eyes are 4 horns. We'll talk about what horns are symbols of, but you might be able to guess pretty good. There were 4 horns. And what these horns did is they scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. So what exactly is a horn? A horn is a biblical symbol. Here it is. This is a shofar. It's a biblical symbol of the power of an individual or the power of king. How many people know there's powers out there? Right? Has anybody ever encountered a demonic power? I have. There are powers behind governments. There are powers behind certain institutions. There's power behind, there's a demonic power behind the media. There's horns of power. And then it's like the Lord said, I have to bring down these horns of power. You can't do it. So here's my plan. Then the Lord showed me 4 craftsmen. And I said, what are these coming to do? And then he speaks about these 4 horns, the 4 horns that scatter Judah, so that nobody, look at this, so that no one raised his head. When the horns of the power of this world come against us, and they do come against us, we're like depressed. I mean, it's like, oh, here they come. We get discouraged. And by the way, these verses were written after Israel had come in back into Jerusalem. They were looking forward to building the temple. They started out, they built the foundation, and then the Persians who were there, one of these horns of power, says, stop. And for 20 years, they had to stop building the temple. They got it started, and then this power of the beast says, stop. Anybody relate to that here in this church? The power of the beast saying, stop. And what they needed were the 4 craftsmen. That's kind of an interesting terminology, the 4 craftsmen. Let me read it to you out of a more modern translation. The angel replied, these 4 horns, these nations scatter and they've humbled Judah. Now these blacksmiths, divine blacksmiths, they have come to terrify those nations and throw them down and destroy them. It's interesting that God would use this terminology, craftsmen. I mean, why didn't he say, like, I'm going to send the 4 horses of the apocalypse? But he uses craftsmen, and there's a reason why. This word craftsman refers to those who are skillful to destroy. They know how to be warriors, and they especially know how to make the weapon that is formed to destroy the powers that be. Look at this. This is found also. When Israel lacked weapons, for there was no blacksmiths found in the land. For the Philistines said, the Hebrews, at least the Hebrews make swords and spears. The craftsmen made the swords and the spears. And when there's no blacksmith found, there's no swords or spears. So God says, I'm going to send my angels and they're going to craft something. They're going to be spiritual blacksmiths and they're going to make some weapons. How many people are excited by that? And when they make the weapons, the powers that be will start trembling. How many people read in the Old Testament where God sends fear into the enemy's camp? Woo! When God sends fear into the enemy camp, when there's trembling among the people, and they begin to tremble because God's horsemen are on the move, his craftsmen are on the move. These horns of the powers that be who have messed with Judah and they've messed with Jerusalem and they have messed with the progress of God It's time for God to send the blacksmith. And when God sends the blacksmith and he forms a weapon, they are terrified. How many people know we're on the side of power? When God sends these forces and he sends fear, let me just say this about fear. We've seen what fear can do, right? Remember Franklin D. Roosevelt, he said, there's only thing we have to fear is fear itself. What was he saying here? He was saying, once people are afraid, man, it's over. Fear is a weapon. This is powerful because God has his own weapons that cause fear to the powers that be. And when that happens, we need to know that there's no weapon that they have that is formed against us that will prosper. But guess what? The weapons we have formed against them will prosper. We are in a position of total strength, and they are in a position of total weakness when God sends the blacksmiths, when he sends the craftsmen. What happens, the idea of terrified, is that everything begins to shake. There's fear. It's the same fear that came when Mount Sinai, when God came down, he shook everything that could be shaken. How many people want God to shake everything that can be shaken of the enemy's camp? Want God to send the blacksmith down. Why did God have to do this? Because he put a divine plan in place. He put a divine mission into the hearts of the people. And because of that, I want you to see this. When we get involved with what God is doing on the earth, and that's why we've taken such a long time, even in us pursuing, you know, a place of worship, a habitation, is we didn't want to just say, oh, we need a church. We wanted it to be divinely shown to us. And so here we see the lifting up of the eyes. We see a measuring line in the hand. We hear, and by the way, that reference is wrong. I'm sorry about that. This is still Zechariah. And he says, where are you going? And the angel says, to measure Jerusalem, to see what it's width. I find this curious. Why is God needing to measure anything? Right? Why is God concerned about measuring stuff? But if we look at it, he's very concerned. I mean, the house it had to be exactly 45 feet here, by the way. I mean, it had to be a very specific thing. This is all dealing with the fact that God says, listen, I have my craftsmen forming weapons, and I have my angels kind of instructing you on measurements. It's going to be a God project. And so here we see in Zechariah. Behold, the angel who talked with me came forward, and another angel came forward to meet him. And they said to him, say to the young man, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as villages without walls because of the multitude of people. There's people that need the place to dwell. There's livestock that need a place to roam. And because of this, I have established that this is going to be done. Two angels came. Anytime there's a project of God, there are angels involved. If they're not, back away. Inhabitants of people, livestock, angels say, okay, we're on board here. God has given us the go-ahead. Angels are on board. What do angels do? The Bible says that they are ministering spirits and they are sent to serve us. There they are. They're sent to protect us. You probably have one or two of these, and they're always on guard. They're always encamped around those who fear. They're always present. But in Hebrews, it gives us one more thing about the angels. He has made his angels wings and his ministers a flame of fire. It's speaking about angels as ministers, and they are on fire. You don't mess with angels. You don't mess with fire. You don't mess with them. Remember this scene of the fiery angels and the fiery chariots surrounding Elijah? And, you know, they were going to battle and they had a small army. I said they were going to battle and had a small army. They had a Gideon-sized army. And they're like, we can't win. 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 And Elijah says, are you crazy? What do you mean we can't win? Look, the mountains are full of horses and chariots of fire. This is Elisha. I said, Elisha, I meant Elisha. If we had eyes to see, and when God gives his okay, and when he sends his craftsmen, and when he says to his angels, go and put around my people, put around them a wall of fire. When we are obedient, when we do what God wants us to do, there is around us a wall of angels, a wall of fire. And fire, let's talk about fire. It represents God's power to judge the ungodly, to protect the saints, also to purify us, and to give us clarity. Light, fire, gives us illumination, revelation. We can see things. So when you have a wall of fire, there's judgment for outsiders, there's protection for insiders, there's purification for the saints. The same fire that purifies us destroys our enemies. That's what John the Baptist says. He says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, but I'm also sending fire. And I'm going to cover them in fire. To be baptized means to be immersed in fire. You are going to be on fire when the Spirit comes. And here's what he's going to do. He's going to purify the wheat, the chaff, and the barns. But the fire will also burn away the chaff with unquenchable fire. Don't mess with the fire. You know, we judge things. We say, isn't that beautiful? Look what they did. Isn't that a wonderful success? You're not going to know what a success is until you get to heaven. Herod looked very successful. He built all these temples and big houses and big things. Herod. No. We don't build big things on earth. Listen. If anyone builds on a foundation with gold and silver and precious stones, you can build with wood and hay and straw. But each one's work will become manifest, for that day will disclose it. It will be revealed by fire. The fire will test what sort of work each man has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. This is what I want right here. I want to know that I built something with gold and silver, and that when I get to heaven, there's a reward. Why? Because I did not build on hay and stubble and straw. I built with gold, silver. That means I built with the things of heaven. And I'm talking about every aspect of my life, not just the things that are real visible. No. All of your works are going to be tested by fire, and your faith is going to be tested, and you need to know that. Fire tests us because God is a consuming fire. But I want you to know this, that when God puts a wall of fire around us, we're in really, really good shape. And why does he do it? Why does he protect his people with a wall of fire? Why? Here it is, the end result. I will be the glory in their midst. I have to make sure that everything that comes through that fire is purified, because I want to be in their midst glorified. I want to burn away the hay and stubble in their own life, that they don't come into my glory with hay and stubble, so I'm going to put a wall of fire. And also the enemy can't get in. One of the things the Lord told me a long time ago, about 25 years ago, and I really followed this pattern when it comes to this church, he said, you replace the traditions of men with fire. There's a lot of traditions. Church is just monkey see, monkey do. We do this, we don't do that. No. Fire. We want the glory of God in our midst, and that means it must burn away all the chaff, all the hay, all the stubble. We want glory in our midst. What is the glory of God? Listen, here it is. Let me give it to you real quick. It is God's will plus God's power. We do God's will in God's power. This is key. I know what God wants us to do. Now, do I run out and do it? No, I wait for the power. I wait for the fire. I wait for the blacksmith. I wait for God to move. And then, when I do God's will with God's power, What is produced is God's glory. God receives all the glory. Why? I build it with his will, and I build it through the power, and God gets all the glory. Remember Abraham? He had a wonderful promise. You're going to have a son. This is the son of promise. He goes, all right, I'll carry this. Let me figure out a plan. I can't wait for God to do this. So I'm going to get into the flesh, and I'm going to carry out God's plan in the flesh. This was a really bad decision. Galatians, are you so foolish? You began in the spirit. You had the right idea. You had the word. You had the power. And now you're trying to perfect it in the flesh. It's God's will done God's way in God's power. And there's only one way to get that. You've got to look to heaven. You've got to pray this every day. I want the will of God done here on earth the same way it's done in heaven. You know what you're praying there? I want God's will to be done here on earth in the same way it's done in heaven. Wow. I get it. We see through a glass darkly, but there is coming a time in which God is saying to his church, you've got to get more glory. Remember Moses? He went to Mount Sinai. He got all this glory, right? And here's what Paul says about Moses' shining face of glory. He says the Israelites could not gaze upon Moses' face because of the glory, which was brought to an end. And then he says this, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? You understand what he's saying? He's saying Moses went to Sinai to receive the law and he was filled with glory. That was the law. My people who are filled with my Spirit, shouldn't that glory be even greater? See, he says, if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness far exceeds its glory. And then he says, of all believers, we with unveiled faces are beholding the glory of the Lord. We don't have a veil. We're not covering. We're beholding the glory. And what is the glory doing? It's transforming us from one degree of glory. This is what I'm talking about right here. This is going from one degree of glory to the next. You don't get there by being a lackadaisical Christian. You don't get there by being lukewarm. You got to get there with some sort of passion, some sort of zeal, some sort of fire. The highest degree of God's glory is when we somehow encounter heaven's glory. Paul did it, experienced it. I just want to read what happens when we encounter the glory of God. Listen, and here it is. Everything that John saw in heaven, in that city, he describes as being as clear as crystal. He says it in 21:10. He says it in 21:18. Listen, he says the walls were built with jasper while the city was pure gold, like clear glass. Crystal, clear glass. The streets were made of gold, but the gold was so pure, it was like transparent gold. It was like transparent glass. The purity of heaven is some sort of transparency. But here's what I want to show you. In Revelations 22:1, the angel showed a river. This is an important river. This is the river of life. This is the water of life. And he says, now this water is as bright as crystal, and it's flowing from the throne. It is a river of life as bright as crystal. And here's what I want to show you. Jesus said, whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow the river of living water, the water of life. At the core of your being is something that is crystal clear, something that is super transparent. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And let me just say this. Yeah, that's true, but you have to get a vision for that. Listen, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is seated at the right hand. So every day you have to set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Well, I want to find out what's going on the news. I recommend going light on the news. Unless you just want to be totally brainwashed into what the world thinks about everything. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ, listen. It's not yet appeared, but I want to tell you something. There are levels of glory that you can experience with God. You go from one place to you're transformed. How many of you want to be transformed? How many of you want to go from one degree of glory to another degree? It's steps. And here's what the Lord showed me, and I have to show this to you. This has to do with this scripture. The Spirit has many things to show us, but we're not ready for it. But when we really hear from God, we are going to start glorifying God because we're hearing from the Spirit. But here's what I want to show you. And here's what it is. He will take of me and he will declare it to you. This is what I want. I want to glorify God by hearing the Spirit declare to me what God wants. There's a way that seems right to a man. The end is destruction. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Listen. The lesson that is taught in Zechariah is this. I'm going to build my temple. It's not going to be by power. It's not going to be by might. It's going to be by my Spirit. I'm going to do it my way. There are going to be mountains that are in front of you, and I'm going to speak to those mountains, and I'm going to send the blacksmith, and they're going to say to those mountains, be thou removed and cast into the sea. And they're going to shout, grace, grace, grace. That's the message. Let me just close really quickly with this. God gave me two dreams, very specific dreams. I didn't realize they were related, but what I'm going to share with you is what God showed me in two dreams. What he showed me is the people of this world. Ron, let me pull out your wand here. Ron gave me this thing. Look at this. This is what they use in space. Listen to me very carefully on this, please. Listen for just 5 minutes and then we'll close. Listen. A lot of people are operating in this life on a surface level. Totally natural mind. And this could be Christians too. You're on a surface level, totally natural mind, and you have a lot of fear and confusion. Let me just say this. If you have a lot of fear and a lot of confusion in your life, you're probably operating out of the natural mind. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. If you have a lot of fear, if you have a lot of confusion, you're probably on a surface level. What does this look like? Let me show you what it looks like. People on a surface level in a natural mind, because the enemy has power. That's what it looks like. I'm not trying to be political. But let me just say this. There's not a scientist worth their salt anywhere on the planet who would say, you can get coronavirus from your car by yourself. This man is engulfed in fear. And he's got on his gloves too. And he's probably on his phone saying, what's the latest on the coronavirus? Listen, and this is what the Lord showed me in this surface level. These people, life is a war zone. There's chaos and confusion. Life's a war zone. There is a battle for survival and danger is everywhere. That's the mind at level, not even level one, just that level of wow. Then the Lord said, my people can go to three different levels. And this is what this is very clear. Level one was where the people of God got the fact that, hey, I might have fear about the things on the earth, but I know I'm going to heaven. I'm eternally safe. They don't have much light, but they're just saying, you know, I'm just going to, if the Bible says it, I'm going to believe it. It's blind obedience. They're in level one. They're saved, but they're just miserable, really, in a way. And then he said, there's another level. You got to go from this level, go up to this level right here. And he says, this is a level where there's limited light and there's a mix of fear and faith. You got a lot of fears, but you got a lot of faith. And your faith sort of overcomes your fears. You sometimes get mixed up. You do things in the flesh. Like, but okay, you're trying. The Lord said, as the last days get near, you got to get up here. You got to get up to level three. And what happens to level three? Everything becomes crystal clear. You see God's sovereignty over all the affairs of men, putting up nations, putting them down. You see the angels of the Lord having total power over the powers of men. You sit back with relaxation because you know, crystal clear, that it's all about God's will and God's way. And all you care about is what is God's will and what is the way. I want to produce glory on the earth. God, what is your will? And how do you want me to do that? That's level 3. Last verse of Scripture. When you get to this point, I just want rhema. I want God to show me. I want him to send a word and tell me what to do. Listen. My word that goes forth out of my mouth, what I tell you, will not return unto me empty. It shall accomplish a purpose. When I speak it, it's going to happen. And I'm going to make sure every angel and every power and every force is going to make it happen. You can relax. But here's what I want to show you. When God does one, here's what we do. We shall go out with joy. We're going to be led forth by peace. God is sovereignly in control and all of his power is being unleashed on our behalf. The mountains and the hills, they're breaking forth before us. And all we can hear is the angels shouting for joy and singing, and all the trees of the field clapping their hands and saying, well done. Well done. Well done. Well done.
Thanks for listening to this message from River Mountain Church. If you'd like some more information, visit our website, rivermountainchurch.org.